Upfront, inside Atlanta's entertainment industry, is brought to you by Atlanta's Jazz Station, 91.9 FM, WCLK.
Coming up on this week's show, Upfront talks to actor Daveed Diggs from the new film, Blindspotting. The former Hamilton star was in town recently for the Atlanta Film Festival and more. Upfront also caught up with actor Lass Alonso and director Deion Taylor to chat about their new film, Traffic, which opens in theaters nationwide this weekend. The film also stars Paula Patton, Omar Epps, and Rosalind Sanchez. And closing out today's show is my roundtable discussion about BET's new lineup of scripted and unscripted programs for the new season. Blogger extraordinaire Xavier Bryant, PR maven Clarissa Wright, and actor Mike Merrill are in the studio to chat with me about the new shows and more. Upfront will also be playing music from Kendrick Lamar and SZA, as well as T.I. and Q-Tip. But first, here's this week's casting buzz and entertainment news with Reva Blue.
All right, Mr. DeMille, I'm ready for my close-up.
Central Casting is looking for a Caucasian woman that appears to be in her 30s to 40s to portray a 1950s housewife. The actress must be 5'5 to 5'8 in height with shoulder-length hair and a dress size no bigger than a size 8. If this is you, please send two photos along with your legal name, phone number, and current sizes to drbird@centralcasting.com with housewife in the subject line of the email. In other related entertainment news, go to WCLK.com and watch the official trailer for Hotel Artemis. Set in riot-torn, near-future Los Angeles, Jodie Foster plays the nurse who runs a secret members-only emergency room for criminals. The film also stars Sterling K. Brown, Brian Tyree Henry, Sophia Boutella, Jeff Goldblum, Jenny Slate, Zachary Quinto, Charlie Day, and Dave Bautista. Hotel Artemis opens in theaters nationwide on June 8th. TNT has released a new trailer for its popular series, Claws, starring Niecy Nash. It returns to Sunday nights on June 10th at 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Claws follows the rise of five diverse and treacherous manicures working at a South Florida nail salon that is set against the luscious, absurd, and extreme excesses of the crime world. The cast includes Carrie Preston, Harold Perrineau, Jenna Lyon, Judy Reyes, Karrueche Tran, Jason Antoon, Kevin Rankin, Jack Kesey, and Dean Norris. Watch the trailer at WCLK.com. That's this week's Casting Buzz and Entertainment News. I'm Reva Blue.
Support for WCLK programming comes from Georgia State's Rialto Center, presenting vocalist Renee Marie with the Georgia State University Jazz Band. Friday, April the 20th at 8 p.m., Renee Marie will perform songs ranging from jazz to blues to folk. Ticket information is available online at rialto.gsu.edu.
Wake up. This is Spike Lee listening to my man, Ray Cornelius, up front, 91.9 WCLK.
You are a convicted felon, Mr. Hoskins. You are now that until proven otherwise.
How?
Prove otherwise at all times.
John, enough. Stop!
Don't shoot!
Are you with me now?
You know, you don't have to act ghetto to hang out here.
Can you hear me now?
You need to get rid of Miles.
Miles, this is my best friend.
He's gonna push you back in jail or he's gonna get you killed.
Miles!
Don't make me write you up for your last week. The judge will extend your time here a year.
That is the life we live in and have been since the beginning. And you know, we stuck in that soil, loyal. Don't be who you is!
That was a snippet of the new trailer for Blindspotting, written by and starring former Hamilton actor David Diggs and his best friend Rafael Casal. The film follows Colin, who must make it through his final 3 days of probation for a chance at a new beginning. He and his troublemaking childhood friend, Miles, work as movers, and when Colin witnesses a police shooting, the two men's friendship is tested as they grapple with identity and their changed realities in a rapidly gentrifying neighborhood of Oakland, California. Both actors were recently in town for the red carpet debut at the Atlanta Film Festival and talked to Upfront about why this story is as relevant today as it was when they wrote it 10 years ago.
I don't know, it's hard for me to think about how it would have been received because it was so much worse. It wasn't much of a film the first time we wrote it, I don't think, in hindsight. You know, I think we thought it was great. But we've learned a lot and grown a lot as artists since then, so it's hard to say. But, you know, if this film had come out then, I think it is even more relevant now, but kind of the sad thing about it is that it was relevant then. You know, that's kind of the greatest tragedy of the tragedies in this film is that, you know, we say all the time we wish that this was nostalgic. We wish that this felt like a period piece from 10 years ago.
Diggs was also presented with the inaugural ATLFF Innovator Award during the screening. It is a newly created award to recognize visionaries and those forging their own path within the film industry.
I don't even know what to say about it except that it was sort of an unexpected thing, and it's every step of this process, we say this all the time, after getting to make the movie, everything after that has been icing on an already incredible cake. So, like, you know, we got to take the movie to Sundance. That was amazing. Lionsgate picked it up. That was amazing. We're touring to other festivals and real people are seeing it. That's amazing. It's going to be in theaters here August 3rd. That's amazing. You know, all of these things. We're here at the Atlanta Film Festival. It's amazing. I'm getting this award. That's amazing. You know, it's all, but really, like, we were so juiced just to get to make the movie.
Go to WCLK.com to check out the film's full trailer, plus the official movie poster and some images from the Atlanta red carpet premiere. Blindspotting opens in theaters on Friday, July 27th.
The WCLK Jazz Calendar is made possible by support from the Sweet Food Lounge. Vocalist Lindsay Webster plays the Sweet Food Lounge on Thursday, April 26th, along with the Sweet Jazz Band. At the Rialto Center for the Arts on Saturday, April 28th, Larry Harlow's Latin Legends Band with Oscar Hernandez. Brian Culberson, Norman Brown, Na Ji, and Josh Vietti will present an evening of smooth jazz at the Wolf Creek Amphitheater on Saturday, May 5th. And finally, Avery Sunshine, Layla Hathaway, Robert Glasper, and more are performing at the 2018 St. Lucia Jazz Festival, May 6th through the 13th. Also, WCLK's Jamal Ahmed will be hosting the Soul of Jazz from the festival. Information on travel packages are available at LT Travel Connections at 770-323-7118. That's today's Jazz Calendar. For these and more live jazz performances, log on to WCLK.com and check out the events calendar. I'm Riva Blue.
Hey y'all, this is Logan Browning from Netflix's Dear White People, and you're listening to Upfront with Ray Cornelius.
Hey baby, your phone is ringing.
That's not my phone. Hey, that girl. Something in my gut was telling me that she needed help.
I think I put my phone in your bag by accident.
Let me help you.
Just give me the phone. Just give me the phone, okay?
Hold on!
You just heard a snippet from the new movie Traffic, starring Paula Patton, Omar Epps, Lass Alonso, and Rosalind Sanchez. A couple off for a romantic weekend in the mountains are accosted by a biker gang. Alone in the mountains, Bria and John must defend themselves against the gang, who will stop at nothing to protect their secrets. Upfront attended a roundtable discussion with Lass Alonso and director Deion Taylor, who wrote the script based on mail that he received about sex trafficking.
I got a letter in the mail. My daughter's 12, and the letter came in. It was like kids locally at the mall are being trafficked. Mm-hmm. And as an African American man, the first time I seen that on paper, which I don't read nothing, by the way, I read this and I'm like, all right, well, that's weird, because normally you'll see gun violence. It's all kind of dangers that you get letters. If you have kids, like, they'll send you all kind of stuff. That was the first time I ever seen that. And when I seen that, I was like, yo, this is nuts. So then the second step to it was, well, they ain't got nothing to do with us. We black, right? So then later on, I go online and look, like, this is, and I was blown away. I was blown away more than I should have been, because I was more upset with myself. Like, why didn't I know this is like this big in my area? And I live in Northern California. So as I'm going through the Google and reading all the stuff, I'm seeing hundreds and hundreds of stories of kids being abducted into trafficking. And it says it. It's not like, oh, they were grabbed and kidnapped. It's like, no, girls escaping, girls being lured, girls being through the video games, girls my age, up into adult women. And it just haunted me, the whole thing. And I was in the middle of writing something else at the time. I was trying to figure out another thriller. And this seemed to just snap right into what I was getting ready to write. And I said, man, so instead of you writing a horror movie where Freddy Krueger is the monster, or a shark movie where Jaws is the you know, this is it.
Yes.
So this is the, and as I started writing more and more, it was really weird, because we're all a victim of it. You start watching like CNN or the news, and because you are alerted, all of a sudden now every day you see trafficking. Everywhere I go, I'm like, damn, trafficking. Like, it's, and I said, wow, it's hiding in plain sight.
Lass Alonso plays Darren in the film and opened up about what attracted him to this particular character.
That's what I loved about when I first read the screenplay, you know, because those same terms that you viewed, as I was reading the screenplay, I thought that I was the bad guy until we got to a certain moment in which it evolved. But there are times where it misdirects. Like, for example, there are times in which my character is kind of utilized in a way to make you think it might be someone else. And here I am again. You know, and that's classic, you know, thriller and horror film 101, where it's like, you know, it takes you one way and then boom, it sends you in another direction. You know, and that's what I enjoyed as an actor. You know, it's to play a character that I can stretch, something that, you know, you haven't seen me play before, something that's gonna drive emotion in the viewers. You know, I want the characters that I play to be remembered. I don't care if they're loved or hated. You know, I want them to be remembered.
Director Deon Taylor also talked about Traffic being a departure from most dramatic thrillers and was inspired by stories from the headlines.
So Traffic is in the wheelhouse of, we don't have to play that game anymore, where it's like, oh, okay, Omar's gonna ultimately come and he's gonna save the day, and then last, like, no, I was like, no, this is about her and them, and this is how this story's gonna go. And oh, by the way, 95% of the things that happen in the film are direct from headlines, right? So you go, oh, well, why is it, and how come they, and this is stuff I could just show you now, like, okay, here's that one, here's this ring. And at the end of the day, it's grounded in reality. It's very dark and unsettling, but at the same time, it's the thrill ride of the year.
Watch the Traffic trailer at WCLK.com and check it out at a theater near you. Hey, Upfront listeners, check out the exclusive video of my interview with the Players Club actress, Krystal Wilson, at WCLK.com. This month marked the 20th anniversary of the cult classic film, and Wilson talked to me about her iconic character, her latest TV and film projects, and much more. That's WCLK.com.
This is Omar Dorsey, a.k.a. Hollywood of Queen Sugar, and you're listening to Upfront with Ray Cornelius.
That was music from Grammy Award-winning hip-hop star T.I., along with singer-songwriter Carrie Hilson performing I Got Your Back. The Atlanta-based rapper is teaming up with BET this summer for a brand new reality series, The Grand Hustle. The show is part of the network's new lineup of scripted and non-scripted programming. Here to help me discuss a few of these shows are some of Atlanta's top influencers: Xaviera Bryant of the popular entertainment blog Ice Cream Conversation, Clarissa Wright of Synergy PR, and stage and screen actor Mike Merrill. Check out our lively conversation.
Well, hey guys, welcome to Upfront. How are you?
I'm great. How are you?
Awesome.
Yeah? Mike?
What's happening?
So happy to have you guys here in the Upfront studio. This has been a long time coming because I've been trying to get you, Xaviera, in here for a long time.
Yes.
And Mike, we've been talking about forever getting you in here. And
right.
So it was just finding the perfect timing. And Clarissa, it's always a pleasure to see you.
Mine as well.
So what we're about to do for our Upfront audience, this name for the show actually comes from the term upfront, which is what a lot of the networks usually do in the springtime to kind of let folks know what's coming, what's going to be coming forward in terms of their programming. It's kind of a preview, a sneak peek of what's going to be coming. And so the other day I was working on a story where BET presented their upfronts and released a lot of the information regarding their upcoming scripted and unscripted shows. And I was like, man, this is some good stuff. And I was like, you know what, maybe I should have a conversation with some influencers about this new programming. So that's why you guys are here. And we're going to talk about some of these new shows. Because so many people were upset about BET canceling The Quad, you know, which was that amazing series about HBCU life. And, you know, so many people try to compare it to A Different World. And I was like, hey, this is a different time.
Different beast.
You can't even do that. But, Mike, you actually had an opportunity to star on that show. So let's talk a little bit about your experience on The Quad.
My experience on The Quad was very interesting. I can't say I enjoyed it. And I worked one day on The Quad, but you crawl before you walk.
Yeah.
And
but I saw you.
Yeah. Everybody saw me. But far as them canceling the show, I disagree with that as well, because it was such a great show, and it felt like it was getting real greasy. Like it felt like it was getting to the point where, okay, it's got to be a season 3.
Right.
And then just boom, laid it on us like that. And everybody like, what?
Mm-hmm. And so, you were starting to get to know you, because it takes some time to get to know who the characters are.
Yeah.
And kind of know their groove. So I think we were right there where it was like, we know.
Yeah. The characters.
You know,
now,
we know the characters. Mm-hmm. So with that being said, BET has released again this new scripted and unscripted series, and so we're gonna talk about those. And one of them that got a lot of people's attention was this reboot of Boomerang.
Yes.
Which is one of my favorite movies. So Xavier, what was your first reaction when you heard about that?
I think it was a mixed bag for me, because Boomerang is so iconic. It's that feeling where you don't want the icon, like, don't mess with it, don't touch it. Like, you don't touch Aretha's afro. Like, you just don't mess with. So I was caught in between where I was like, don't mess with it. But then I was like, well, if it's done right.
Yeah.
You know, but when the confidence isn't there to know something is going to be done right, it's almost like I would rather just go ahead and pass.
Yeah.
But when it comes on, of course, I'm going to watch,
you
know. Yeah. But it was a mixed bag for me. I just wasn't sure.
Clarissa?
You know what? I understand the don't mess with an iconic thing. Leave well enough alone. But I enjoy seeing what happens after we left. You know, after you left, after the cast left, it's like, whatever happened to so-and-so?
Right.
Whatever happened? So
where's
I like
Lady
to see,
Eloise?
Exactly. I like to see character development after the fact. Because in my mind, I always make up what I think they have done with their lives. So I like to see the reboots are winning right now. So I'm here for the party.
And, you know, this film was so big for me because, and I don't know about you guys, but that was the first time I'd ever seen an African-American male in that type of work environment.
Yeah.
I mean, he was a marketing executive.
Mm-hmm. Right.
I didn't really know about the world of marketing. So
yeah.
I just knew that he was, you know, around all these fabulous people. He was able to work with great artists like Strange. I mean, Joffrey Holder, you know, Nasty Nelson was part of his crew. So it was just like, oh my God, this guy, you know, has this amazing job. And so to me, Boomerang was really ahead of its time.
Yeah.
You know, so I'm you know, we're gonna see how this goes.
Well, let me ask you this. What is BET's plan with it? Because from what I understand, it's gonna be an updated version of the show rather than picking up
where we left off.
Now, because we always want to know the end story.
Yeah.
We always want to know what
did
happened.
Did he stay
in
with
end.
Angela?
Right, exactly. Did he stay with her? You know, so they're going to do an updated version, because I think sometimes when we say reboot, people automatically think it's going to be the original cast. Right. It's going to be the original storyline.
Yeah.
And so I haven't heard anything about the original cast members even being a part. I do not see Halle Berry.
Or Eddie Murphy.
Okay. Yeah. Robin Givens, I mean, sis, I don't know.
Yeah.
She might come through.
Yeah. No shade.
I don't necessarily see Halle
Robin
Berry.
Robin Givens come through for anyone.
Yeah, she'll come through. But so it's supposed to be an updated version rather than picking up. See, you and I, Clarissa, we want to see, well, what happened?
Yeah.
You know, so I think it's supposed to be an updated version where they're going to give their own interpretation of Boomerang.
Okay.
Well, we'll see how that goes. Let's jump right into American Soul. Now, you know, I love a good good biopic, and who doesn't love Soul Train?
Mm-hmm.
So this is a 10-episode drama that is inspired by the personal and professional success of Soul Train creator Don Cornelius. And it's so funny because everybody's like, are you related
Cornelius.
To? Yeah.
Cornelius,
is that your dad?
That's my great uncle.
Right. Uh-huh. But I mean, this is an amazing story because Don Cornelius really put African-American music on, not necessarily on the map, but he really broadened.
He gave it his first platform.
Yeah. So what do you guys think about that?
I feel like he did give a platform to black music. It made it cool.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we were at the I wasn't born in the 70s, but my family, we watched Soul Train religiously.
Yeah.
My grandmother and grandfather were super religious people, but that was the one thing they would let us watch that was secular because it's like, okay, y'all, you can see black excellence on TV long before black excellence was even coined a hashtag nowadays.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I'm interested to see how they're going to wrap it because with the tragic surroundings of how he passed, you know, it's heartbreaking to see such an iconic and legendary person go down like he did. But I'm interested. I will be tuned into that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And you know, I used to hear the rumor that the dancers never got paid. They got a box of KFC.
They better have paid that Asian lady with the real long hair.
All right, let's go into another series, which I think this one is actually going to be part of their unscripted series, and that is T.I.'s The Grand Hustle.
Mm-hmm.
This is an opportunity for entrepreneurs and anyone out there that wants to be a part of something huge. You can compete and get to work with T.I., which I think T.I. has – I don't think a lot of people know all of the stuff that he has done for the city of Atlanta.
Yeah.
But he has really opened the doors for a lot of these younger hip hop artists. I know he's a art collector, so he loves art. Like he collects original art like nobody's business. So I am curious to see what they do with this. So Mike, what do you think about The Grand Hustle?
So The Grand Hustle is supposed to be something like the rap game?
Kind of like, no, more like
Work for Diddy.
Yeah. Kind of
like
working for Diddy or
so you know about the rap game like that, like
was that Jermaine Dupri?
The difference between The Grand Hustle and the rap game is for people who are trying to, you know, young kids who are trying to get on in the rap game. T.I. is actually taking entrepreneurs and having entrepreneurs compete with their businesses and their business
like
plans.
The apprentice.
And,
all ages.
Yeah, yeah. Like,
kind of like the Apprentice.
The Hood Apprentice. That's and dope. Then basically whomever wins at the end, I guess, he will give them some type of business deal through his Grand Hustle
imprint.
So it's going to be interesting. I'm going to grab my thesaurus because I know we're going to get a whole bunch of big words,
honey.
And I'm going to grab my thesaurus. But you know, I think what I appreciate about this particular program is that for business owners and entrepreneurs who are not, who didn't have the advantage of competing, you can still tune in every week and grab them gems.
And grab them. Yeah, exactly.
Grab those gems every week because I'm sure he's going to have quite a few gems with the big words mixed in.
And so, I know that there's a lot of excitement about this because I received a couple of emails saying, hey, how can I audition? Where are they holding, you know, auditions for this? So I think people are really excited about that.
I bet they are.
They should be.
And grab him showing this diversity, I love it.
Yes.
I love it because you know what? People love to go back to the old T.I.
Yeah.
Old
T.I.
I give a brother credit for his growth.
Yeah. Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's showing it. I love it.
Well, Well, you just heard Sisters with Voices, SWV, and they're going to be part of a new reality series that's coming to BET as well. We're talking about Ladies Night, mm-hmm. and that's going to include them and In Vogue, and I also believe Salt-N-Pepa and Spinderella.
Mm-hmm.
What do you ladies think about that? Clarissa, what you thinking?
Well, I like in your article when you call them OGs, because that's exactly what they are, all of these women,
Absolutely.
OGs. First of all, SWV, like Xavier was saying before we got on the air, they are not about to play with anybody. They will get back on the top. They will get out here and let us know that their music is still valid and that they are a force to be reckoned with. Mm-hmm. I'm most excited about the In Vogue part, though.
Yeah.
And I love Salt-N-Pepa and Spinderella, too. No, those girls are, like, awesome. But In Vogue has had so many issues with the in and out of different group members and the fighting and the feuding. So I'm interested to see, first of all, let sisterhood come on back down.
Mm-hmm.
Let us come back to our sisterhood and make some more great music, because Terry Ellis, I need that.
Yeah.
Cindy, I need that.
Mm-hmm.
And then Dawn's out the group.
Right. There's another
new girl.
Maxine. Yeah. Is Maxine still
Rona. Rona. Her name Rona.
Oh, well, see, now
like
Milan.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Now
like,
I'm upset.
My phone.
Y'all, I just dropped my pen, y'all.
But we're all excited to see their faces.
Absolutely.
You know, I was around. One of my first, oh my God, I'm about to date myself. My first hip hop concert was Salt-N-Pepa.
Mm.
Yes.
And they filmed the video Push It. So I was there in the audience.
Wait, they did that video live?
They did that video
in
Orlando, Florida.
They were on stage dancing.
At the Central Florida Fairgrounds.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember almost being crushed. We could not move. And they shot that video. They shot it several times. Because Herbie the Love Bug was there. That was my first time ever seeing him. And I was like, oh my God, they're actually shooting a video? I mean, it was crazy. There was several takes for that. So I'm really excited to see what they're going to do with them. Yeah.
Oh, I will never forget that dance sequence.
Dun, dun.
Now, there is a... oh, go ahead.
Real quick point. Anyone else notice in Ladies' Night, it's all trios? Anyone else notice that?
Oh.
That's cute.
It's all
no,
trios.
Yeah. Pick that
That's
up.
Real cute.
Yeah.
Yes.
SWV.
Yeah.
In Vogue is now a trio.
Yep,
and
true.
You have Salt-N-Pepa and Spinderella,
and
all trios.
Know, another good point about that, and which I think is really important for this show, is that you really don't see that many girl groups.
Right.
I know when I interviewed Candy Burris a couple of years ago before Escape got back together, that was one of the things that she really wanted to see back in music was girl groups. Everyone now wants to be the star. But there's some magic when you have girls coming together and putting those harmonies together and all
that.
Let me
ask you this. Do you think that when they put these girl groups together that they automatically know that it's going to break out at some point? Because Dandy Kane didn't make it. What's the group that Seven Streeter and them were in?
I didn't even know she was in a group.
It was a group first. Rich Girl.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
But so I'm like, do they just know? Like,
and then you got fifth, fourth, third harmony.
Yeah, fifth harmony. Yeah, right. So do they know going in that?
You know what? I think what tends to happen sometimes is when you have groups, I think a lot of times the audience or fans pick. They single
gravitate
out.
Toward,
and it just, I mean, there's usually one person that they just.
The fan favorite.
Yeah,
well,
that they just kind of
grab.
Well,
there's going to be a Diana in every group.
Yeah.
True that.
You were
going to
say something.
What about Glamour? Y'all heard of Glamour?
Yeah.
Oh,
well, that's
that was one of my, that's one of my favorite.
And they're still together.
Really?
Yeah,
they're still together.
Dope.
May I toss into the pot that 702 just announced their reunion?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Come on, girl.
So this is
702,
good
where my girls at?
Yeah. Oh, okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Now, there is a new series that I wanted to put a spotlight on, which I think is really interesting. And we had talked about this offline, this interest in crime and justice programming. And that's Finding Justice with Dwayne The Rock Johnson. What do you guys think about that? Because that's a major collaboration between The Rock and BET. So this should be a really good series. What are your thoughts?
Well, crime shows are big right now.
Yeah.
And they're always thriving because there is no shortage of crime or a crime to be solved. And I don't understand our fascination with crime. And I think maybe we're watching because we want it to be solved and maybe get some resolution and closure for the families. But I'm here for anything The Rock does with clothes or with clothes, you know, without. It doesn't matter. But I am I will be here for it.
Yeah.
I'm on time for anything crime related and, you know, solving crimes.
Clarissa?
I would first like to commend The Rock on taking his star power and doing something with purpose with it.
Mm-hmm.
He could very well keep on going and making these Fast and the Furious movies and his spinoff that he just got, but taking the time to actually do something that is going to help heal hearts, hopefully, and help to get to the bottom of some of these tragic crimes. I'm really proud of him. So I'm here for it, too. I'm a Forensic Files fan. I'm a Dateline old lady on a Friday night. I'm sitting in the bed watching Dateline. So I'm here for Finding Justice, and I will be tuning in.
Yeah.
Quick question.
Yeah.
Do we ever at any point feel like the tragedies that fall upon these families are being exploited for TV shows like this and ratings?
I wouldn't necessarily say that. I think what happens is you take a story like these Forensic Files or a Fatal Attraction, and what it does is it just informs you of what could potentially happen. I think these are teaching opportunities for individuals that may see this, that may themselves be caught up in a situation like For My Man, and you know that your man is not doing things legally. Mm-hmm. It may, to me, be a teaching opportunity. So I don't know if they're necessarily exploiting them, but you know, I think it helps to get the word out about what could potentially happen.
Yeah, okay. I'm with that.
And one of the new series that we're going to get into, and Mike, this is something that is near and dear to you because you got an opportunity to be on the set of, and I'm talking about the Bobby Brown story, which is coming out, and you're going to be in that
Let me
movie.
Touch your hand. Let's touch your hand.
Let's talk about that experience. That's going to be coming up in the fall, I believe, on BET, right?
Yeah,
coming up this fall. So tell us a little bit about. Can you tell us about your character and?
Well, I can't really tell you. Yeah, I can't.
Well, just
really
tell us about the experience. The
experience of even being on the Bobby Brown story. Like, when I was on set, it's like I didn't wake up yet. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Because I'm like when people, it always comes to mind when people are, how you feel?
Yeah.
Like, bro, how does it feel to have the type of role that you have? And that's when that always come to mind. I'm like, man, this is going to be legendary. I'm a part of a legendary, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Series, yeah.
Well, his story, you know, and I'm just glad I was chosen to bring it to life.
Yeah.
Good or to bring it to TV.
And this is kind of a continuation from their blockbuster, The New Edition story, which broke all numbers. And I think had everyone tuned into BET, almost kind of like how Roots
did. For three days in a row.
Right, back in the day.
Yes.
It was like, are you watching? Yeah, I watch. Okay, it's on now. Let me hang up. You know, it was one of those types of things. And I think people are going to be really excited about this. So, you guys, thank you so much for stopping
BBD
by.
BBD got next.
Thank you guys so much for stopping by. Right.
Mama.
Okay.
The Upfront Studios talking about this new season for programming on BET, some of the new scripted series and the unscripted series that are going to be on BET. And you'll be able to check out this information and more at WCLK.com. Thank you guys so much for
stopping
by.
Thank you, Ray. Thank you so much.
Have you back.
We had so much fun.
Have a great day.
Bye.
Well, that'll do it for today's show. I'd really like to thank all of my special guests, David Diggs, Lass Alonzo, Dion Taylor, Xavier Bryant, Clarissa Wright, and Mike Merrill. I'd also like to thank my engineer, Jami Wellman, and you. Please join us next Saturday, April 28th, for another exciting edition of Upfront, Inside Atlanta's Entertainment Industry. Happy Saturday, Atlanta. If you like today's show, please hit us up at WCLK.com. We'd love to hear from you.
Upfront, Inside Atlanta's Entertainment Industry has been brought to you by Atlanta's Jazz Station, 91.9 FM, WCLK, an NPR member-supported station.